Good morning. I bring you greetings from North Carolina. I'm very pleased to be here. My name is Ann Short, and I am the director of the Alliance for Health. And I'd like to acknowledge the colleagues that helped bring this program to fruition. It was a vision of Jonathan Koch from Chapel Hill and the work of Joan Walsh, who helped bring it about in Cleveland County. There's no relationship to divulge here. This project was supported by a grant from the Maternal and Child Health Bureau of HRSA and also from the American Academy of Pediatrics. I also should acknowledge the work of Oscar Barberin, who is a professor in the School of Social Work at UNC Chapel Hill, for the use of his ABLE assessment for social and emotional issues in children. And also Denise Stallings, who is here today. She's the health director in Cleveland County who has supported this. And Cindy Campos, who is our child care health consultant for the health department and does a yeoman's job in helping pull this project into reality. We have two project goals for connecting the dots. Let me tell you just a little bit about Cleveland County. For those of you who remember your geography, we are 40 miles west of Charlotte, 40 miles east of Asheville, and 40 miles north of Spartanburg, South Carolina. We sit right on the border with North and South Carolina. We are a small county. We're classified as rural. When we left this past weekend, our unemployment rate in the county was 8.8%. And we have approximately 100 child care facilities in the county, about half of which are family child care homes serving five or fewer children. We also we are part of the North Carolina system, the five-star licensure system that is run by the Division of Child Development, and the child care centers that we serve in this project range from 1 to 5 stars. At this time, we have no NAEYC certified child care facilities in the county. So we had two goals when we looked at this. We have worked with a child care health consultant since November 2000 in Cleveland County. So Cindy is the third nurse who holds this position. And when we have gone out and surveyed the providers, yes, they need the information about safety and health issues, but they consistently told us they needed help with behavior, with challenging behaviors in children. And we don't have a wealth of mental health providers in our county. You almost have to go to Charlotte or Asheville or Spartanburg to find that. So we established two goals here. One is to support healthy social and emotional development in preschool children, and the other was to prevent or reduce the number of expulsions from out-of-home child care in children with challenging behaviors. It was very hard for us to admit that we had children who were bouncing from center to center to center because of simply behavioral issues. This is the model that was developed for this project. You'll notice that level one is the largest. It's the base. It's the out-of-home child care providers that we work with. Level two is the child care health consultant's role. Level three is the primary care physician for the children, and the top level, the smallest number, are the specialized mental health providers for children. At the bottom level, base level, we work with child care providers. We offer them training in a particular curriculum that we have selected, promoting the social emotional competence of young children. This comes from the Center for Social and Emotional Foundations of Early Learning, or what we've referred to as CEFL, which is now at Vanderbilt University. It's a great curriculum. It's on the web. It's downloadable, and it's free. And it gives you tons and tons and tons of information on social and emotional milestones. We offer assistance to the providers in structuring their classroom environments, and we measure how they have adapted to this assistance with three what we call event samplings. And we developed a specific form to measure changes, and we based it on the ITERS rating scale, because our providers were familiar with that. And this way, they don't feel like we're coming in and we're doing something else that maybe they could ultimately be downgraded for. So we've made it follow along with the ITERS completely. These are the strategies that we work with our providers. We help them develop learning centers, how to organize their time, how to organize their space. They learn how to develop rules together. It's amazing when we do their classes. We actually do them in a hands-on manner, and they have poster board and they have markers and they do rule charts, and then they figure out where to post them for their children. We talk to them a lot about ignoring misbehavior and giving positive attention, and we give them tools to do so, like a little solution box, so that if the children actually are having any kind of conflict, they can work it out using this solution box, and you would find that on the CEFL curriculum. At the level of the child care health consultant, they assist the child care providers in assessing classroom behavior using Dr. Barbarin's ABLE assessments. There's a level one, very simple. It's 10 questions. If there are issues on the 10 questions, parents answer two more sections, depending upon the scoring. Then we may move to the ABLE 2. There are 40 questions. They're written in parent-friendly language, like, are there temper tantrums? Does the child cry? Does the child hit? ABLE actually stands for Attention, Behavior, Language, and Emotion. And because they are so user-friendly, the teachers like them, the parents like them, and we get a fairly good response from people completing the forms. It's a front and back thing, so it's not like handing somebody a four-page fold-out thing. The ABLE ones are scored by the child care health consultant and by me, and then the ABLE 2s are sent to Chapel Hill for scoring so that we maintain a level of objectivity in that. The child care health consultant also takes the information back to the child care center and works with that director in the best way to approach a parent if a referral is made either for behavior or for speech-language issues. She also is responsible for the training, so we offer 5 sessions of training on the CEFL curriculum to the providers, and she develops those and conducts them, and we bribe them very bluntly. We feed them supper, they get incentives for coming, and they get continuing education hours because they've worked all day and we train them at night, and sometimes you have to give them a little bit of an incentive to come. At the third level, based upon the ABLE results, we make referrals first to the primary care providers. And this is a really good indication for us if the child has a medical home. If they don't have a medical home, this is the way that we get them established in one. The primary care providers may talk with the parents, they may do additional assessments, they may do some counseling, and we do offer our primary care providers additional training in recognizing the impact of challenging behaviors. We offer them the same exposure to the CEFL curriculum that we do the providers. And then lastly, the level four, we make referrals. The primary care provider will make a referral to a mental health specialist for the most challenging behaviors. The child care health consultant can facilitate in this. But I also have to tell you that we in North Carolina have a program called Carolina Access, which is Medicaid case management. And through this program, our health director has been able to place at our largest pediatric practice in the county a psychologist who works with the children, and also a child mental health case manager who works with the child care health consultant and the parents if any of these issues are identified and the referrals are made. So we are lucky in that respect. We have enrolled our Head Start program in using this same assessment for the past 2 years. So all of the information you see will be charted as Child Care Center children and Head Start children. And we are now in our third year, but I'm bringing you 2 years of data here. When we've done the ABLE 2 screenings, you'll see that the number has dropped slightly in the Child Care Center children, but significantly in the Head Start children. One of the reasons for that is we believe we've now trained most of our Head Start teachers and they are more comfortable in using the assessment. And we have more turnover in our private centers and we continue to add new child care centers every year to the project. And this is the way the referrals have fallen out. In year one for child care centers, we had 32 behavior referrals, and this past year we had 15. In year one, we had 15 speech-language referrals, and this past year, 11. In Head Start Children, 27 behavior referrals and 18 speech-language. We feel like those are higher because this is where we have some of our Hispanic children. And in year two, 21 behavioral referrals and 8 for speech-language. In the status for what has happened, these are the Head Start referrals. The advantage in working with Head Start is that those parents sign a blanket agreement that if any referrals are made, the Head Start staff will work with the parents to facilitate following up. So you will see more success in having the parents follow through there. In the child care center referrals, we have less success for a couple of reasons. Parents are reluctant to monkey with mental health in preschoolers. Sometimes physicians are reluctant, and sometimes there is an older family member leaning over their shoulder saying, oh, they'll grow out of it. What we find very often, though, is that they don't grow out of it. These are our conclusions. Better training for our teachers has resulted in positive action. They're more confident about trying new ideas, and they have developed a lot of momentum about keeping on with the new ideas. The teachers are more comfortable in the ABLE assessments, and they are really very realistic. We had one case in one child care center where 14 of 16 children, the teacher said, needed the ABLE 2, and we called the center director and said, there's something a little out of whack here, and suggested maybe she would want to observe in that classroom. I said, otherwise, you have collected all of the demon spawn in Cleveland County and put them in one three-year-old classroom. And she came back and she said, it was the wrong teacher for the age group, and we would probably never have known it had we done this. So we helped the teacher who agreed that wasn't her favorite group, and we helped the children who benefited then from a more positive learning environment. We know that the routines and the structure for children in the classrooms has been reinforced through multiple strategies, and we know that the teachers have developed more tools to reinforce the decision-making skills for children, such as the solution boxes. Our frustration continues to be working with families. With Head Start, it's easy. With families in child care centers, they run in, they run out. Even if the center offers family sessions, they're not well attended because parents have so many other things to do. But the other thing is teachers have become more aware of and more sensitive to family issues. And if a child has had no challenging behaviors and all of a sudden starts, then they do a little bit of probing before they decide that the child is the one who is the real problem here. I do have handouts at the back of the room. This is my contact information, and if you have any questions or you would like copies of, for example, the event sampling form, you can email me and I'll try to get them back to you.